You know the vibes. Welcome back to another episode of the Hoop Genius Podcast, brought to you by NBA 2K24. Myself, Momuzi, alongside me, as usual, Mr. BJ Armstrong. BJ, we missed you yesterday. How's the city of Chicago treating you? Nice to be back.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Well, it's good. It's all good. I mean, I got all types of things in my ears. It's good. Mo, it's good. I'm just, you know, doing my Chicago thing and pre-draft and, you know, getting ready so that you'll have new stars and new people to break down.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I don't know if anyone will in my class will get to the Celtics. Hopefully they won't.
No, the Celtics don't have that pick. They traded, I think, what's become the 14th pick in the Drew Holiday trade.
Yes.
So no pick for the Celtics here. But we're going to talk about that draft lottery later on in the show. We'll break down tonight's games. The Celtics game 4 versus the Cleveland Cavaliers. They've now taken a 3-1 series lead with the 109-102 win over the Cleveland Cavaliers. No Donovan Mitchell, but it's the typical Boston Celtics who like to make life difficult for themselves. What I will say about this, Jason Tatum, once again, 33 points, 11 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals, and a block. I think it's an identical stat line to game 3. But yeah, this game should have been a blowout. It should have been over by halftime. You should have rested your guys. Instead, Celtics turning the ball over a lot in the first half. They finished with 14 turnovers in this game. Down the stretch, late game offense. I'm not even going to talk about it because it would just stress me out, BJ. But what I will say is the Celtics now have a 3-1 series lead. 1 win away from the conference finals. They're an NBA best 7-2 this postseason. And 6 of those wins have been by at least 13 points. And I'm just not going to talk about the things that worry me because we are not going to worry about them until we need to. The big news from this game, though, was off the court. Just on the sidelines, LeBron James was in the house.
Hey, should we go into our favorite subject?
Ice Spice.
No.
Oh, the other
thing. I didn't see her. I didn't see her at the game. But we should go into our other favorite subject matters that we love to discuss here.
Well, the last time LeBron James was in Cleveland watching a game was Zydrunas Sagalski's jersey retirement, and 6 months later, he rejoined the Cavs. The last time LeBron James went to watch another team play, it was the Lakers in the Summer League, and then he went to join the Lakers. So if this is a sign of how things are, he took his wife, Savannah. They were both at the game together. In typical LeBron fashion, he had a bottle of wine with him on the court. He had a bottle of wine, a bottle of water, and a cup of coffee.
No,
he had one for hydration, one for energy, and one just for fun.
Oh,
maybe he's got it all figured out. But I think they looked at it, and Donovan Mitchell didn't play, and it was in my head. LeBron's just looking at which of the guys on the Cavs he wants to trade when he goes there. And I think like this whole thing of Donovan Mitchell wants to leave the Cavs. I think if LeBron joins, he'll want to stay. So LeBron said to Donovan Mitchell, "Don't play tonight. Let me see what we're working with these other guys." And they're going to end up trading Darius Garland for LeBron James. And, you know, LA get a younger guard that they compare with AD, have a nice big and guard combo, and someone who's going to be there for the long term. And Cleveland get the homecoming, LeBron James. What do you think about that?
I'm not going to think about it. I'm not going to go down this dark rabbit hole. I'm going to stay with the game. Great win by your Celtics. But if you want to discuss it and you want to talk about it, be my guest.
Well, what I want to talk about really and truly deep down is why we're still playing Al Horford and Xavier Tillman's getting a DNP in a game where clearly Al Horford needs the rest. And, you know, you traded for this guy, Xavier Tillman, for his defense, and you're not playing him, Joe Mazzulla. We'll have words in the next round, don't worry. But yeah, LeBron, Cleveland, I think it's making a lot of sense. I don't know what they'll do about their front court situation because obviously LeBron's not really going to play the three at this stage. So they might look to move Allen because I don't think Mobley will be a player that they move, especially with the way that he's been playing in the postseason. He finished with 19 points tonight. Darius Garland increasing his trade stock for LeBron, 30 points and 7 assists. And a huge shot from Jaylen Brown down the stretch. He finished with 27 points, 8 rebounds, and he hit a huge
three.
So
if you are the Lakers, who would you rather want? Would you rather have?
I'd rather have Donovan Mitchell. I'd rather have Donovan Mitchell than Darius Garland if I'm either of the teams.
Well, you got to do something else to add up the numbers, right? So you got to get a. Who would you have to get? You'd have to get a. But you probably had to give up Mobley then.
Well, you would have to be Garland and Mobley for LeBron James.
Or Donovan Mitchell and Mobley.
No, that would be crazy. If I'm giving you Donovan Mitchell, it has to be a straight up swap. LeBron James is 40 years old. What are we doing here? You're asking me to give up my best player and my best young player
okay.
for a guy who's going to play two seasons.
Let me ask you this. Okay, if I were the Cavs,
yes,
and I'm the books in front of me, I don't want to worry about players leaving.
Mm-hmm.
So Donovan Mitchell, he's a free agent, right? Is if I remember correctly, what's his?
Donovan Mitchell right now has 2 years left on his contract after this one, but the final year is a player option. So next year is the final guaranteed year of his contract.
Yeah, I would be. I would. If he doesn't resign, I would move Donovan Mitchell.
Yes.
If he says, well, I would kind of want to wait and see, that puts Cleveland in a very awkward position. That's what I would do.
Yeah. Well, I'd say to Donovan Mitchell, sign his extension and we'll trade for LeBron.
Yeah.
That's what I'd say to him. And if you don't want to do this, then we'll trade you.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. That's what I would do. I mean, yeah, if you don't want to sign, then because it puts Cleveland in a very – because if they trade for Garland and then Donovan leaves, now you're in a full rebuild. So I think it's one or the other.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
I'm just looking at the numbers. I mean, I agree with you, basketball, but – And I would, if you're going to take on that massive, big of a contract, right? If you're going to take that on, you're going to have to get away some salary because you don't want to be in luxury second tax. Aprons and luxury tax and all that stuff. So it makes sense. So I think they would get off of Mobley. They would get off of Mobley because Jaren Allen
is not kicked in yet.
His extension hasn't kicked in yet. Exactly. That's exactly right. That makes sense. I mean, it makes sense, but now whether or not you do it or whatever, we're just talking. But it makes sense.
Yeah, we'll talk about a few offseason things in a sec, but we got to talk about the OKC Thunder tying the series 2-2 in Dallas. They've regained their home court advantage as Shai Alexander put on an MVP-type performance down the stretch in this game. In this game, the Dallas Mavericks led for pretty much the entirety of it. And it was a late push at, you know, the last couple minutes of the quarter where Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, he scored or assisted on 7 of the last 8 made field goals for the Thunder, including 8 straight OKC points to eventually take and keep the lead. This one went right down to the wire. And Luka Doncic had the chance to tie the game from the free throw line. And it was very shocking that he actually missed the first of his free throws and then didn't intentionally miss the second one. And that was the game. The Mavericks really locked in defensively. For the most part of this game, I was so impressed by the defense of the Dallas Mavericks. Their role players really stepped up in this one. You know, you've got Jones Jr. with 17 points, PJ Washington with 21 and 12. Daniel Gafford gave you 10. Derek Lively gave you 7, 6 off the bench. And Tim Hardaway gave you 6. Exum gave you 5. Josh Green gave you 3. So just little contributions here and there. But Kyrie Irving, in 40 minutes of play, 9 points and 9 assists. He was 4 of 11 from the field. And Luka Doncic, 6 of 20 from the field. But the free throw line was the real low light for the Mavs. They were 12 of 23, shooting just 50% from the free throw line. And, you know, if you're going to give up 11 free points in a game that you lose by 4 points, you deserve to lose. You know, for the OKC Thunder, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander stepped up, 34 points, 8 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals, and 2 blocks. Lou Dort had 17, including a huge 3 at the end. Jalen Williams had 14. Chet Holmgren had 18 and 9. Josh Giddey once again stunk up the place with 5 points in 12 minutes, and I don't know when they're going to finally stop playing him. It's interesting that Mark Dagnall won the Coach of the Year for the regular season, and he's still coaching like it's the regular season, going 10 deep into his rotation. They might want to have a look at that because they were lucky to win this one tonight. And if the Mavericks make some free throws, they do not win this game. They're down 3-1. But I guess we'll never know what that's like. So it's now a best of three series. And I want to credit the OKC Thunder because, you know, they're a very young team. This is their first go at it. But they showed some serious poise down the stretch tonight, including leading the Mavericks to a stretch where they could not score the basket late in the game.
Yes.
So, you know, credit to them because there were long stretches where the OKC offense went stagnant and they were going to just isolation stuff. There wasn't a lot of ball and player movement. The thing with Kyrie struggling is he did a great job early on. Every time they show him the double team, he's just moving the ball instantly and finding his teammates. But having said that, when it's late in the game and Luka's having an awful game, you expect your second star to step up like he has been doing all playoffs long. It's just a shame for the Mavs that Kyrie couldn't do this tonight. So we now move on back to Oklahoma for game five in what will be a best of three series. All the series except for the Boston one are now tied at two games apiece, which makes for some exciting viewing. But BJ, you weren't here yesterday. Mm-hmm. And if you guys heard yesterday's show, at the very end, I said, I guarantee BJ calls me as soon as I'm done recording.
And what did
within,
I do?
Within 90 seconds of me finishing that recording, BJ calls me. He says, I just got back. I'm ready. I said, BJ, it's 5:30 in the morning. I'm going to sleep. And then we proceeded to talk about basketball for about an hour on the phone. So we should have just recorded the phone call.
Well, that's what we do. That's what we do. No, I want to say this about Shea Alexander. You know, there's been some in the media here about the MVP and he finished second. I mean, there's only one more place for him to go. You know,
all the way up.
All this, he without question, he had an MVP caliber season, and the last 2 years, I mean, he's, you know, he had a breakout season by, you know, statistically, I would say, what he did. He was a first-team All-NBA player. And then this year he follows it up and they have a phenomenal, his team has a phenomenal season. But the thing that's been very impressive about his season is he's playing Luka. Like, he's matching Luka and Kyrie.
He was the best player on the floor tonight.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. He in both games that they've won, he's been the best player on the floor.
Well, that's what we say about the playoffs. The team with the best player is going to win.
When you want to find out who's who and what's what, I want to say this about Shea. And look, I haven't, you know, I want to say this about this young man. I've been watching him now for 2-3 years. And, you know, you think players are going to get there. They show you. They'll have a season. They'll show you. He is, without question, a bona fide superstar. Mm-hmm. He's a superstar. And now he is displaying this in a way where he is able to just take over a game and just win a game like he did tonight on the road, I might add, versus – you know, I mean, Kyrie is without question a terrific, terrific talent. You know, he's without question, I think, a top 15 player here, just to be conservative, wherever you want to rank it.
Mm-hmm.
And Luka is a top five player. And Shea is there. He's there. And so from this point moving forward now, you know, he's in that conversation. Okay. He's put together a season where arguably he could have been the MVP this year, and taking nothing away from anyone, because I thought Jokic, because he's coming back with the expectations. But from this point moving forward now, based on what I'm seeing, Shea is there now.
Yeah.
And he deserves now to let everyone know, because he's in a smaller market and we haven't seen him on national television as much as probably some of the other players. But ladies and gentlemen, he is without question an elite player in your top five. Mm-hmm. And I remember I said that about the kid Anthony Edwards, right? And I know it sounded a little but Shea Alexander is there now. And he's going to be there for a while. This is not an accident. So just want to say I'm really excited for these next three games, Mo. And I'm excited to see who's going to take that step, right? I mean, this is going to be a tough, I don't know. I think it's a toss-up who's going
to
win it.
Well, I think this was really bad for the Mavericks to lose this game. They played sensational defense. They held the Thunder to 25% three-point shooting, right? Luka Doncic in this one had 7 turnovers and only 6 made baskets. All he had to do, because we always say that your role players are going to win you one game in a series if you want to win a series. This was the game for the role players to win. All Luka had to do was make those free throws down the stretch.
Right.
Would have tied the game, and we play from there, right? I don't know. This game may end up costing the Mavericks this series because they would have been 3-1 up with all the confidence because they absolutely had the Thunder in a chokehold. Like, there were stretches of this game where the Thunder looked like the young team who weren't ready for the moment, so on and so forth. But yet, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander stepped up late in the game, and that's what superstars do. And obviously, with Luka, he started the game looking like the injury wasn't bothering him. He looked like he had a spring in his step. And as the game wore on, you could see it really starting to affect him. But let me go back to what I was saying before. Anyway, BJ, you weren't on yesterday's show, so you missed out on the chance to talk about the NBA draft lottery. So I thought I'd wait for you to join us here.
Okay.
I want to know, what are your thoughts? The Atlanta Hawks, who had a 3% chance at the number one pick, ended up with the number one pick for the first time in 49 years. I don't think they've ever won the lottery before. The Washington Wizards have got the second pick. The Houston Rockets, they own the Nets picks, so they end up with the third pick overall. The San Antonio Spurs, looking to add some help around Victor Wembanyama, they get the fourth pick. And your Detroit Pistons, for the second year running, after having the worst season in the NBA, end up with the fifth pick. And so on and so forth. What were your thoughts about the draft lottery? And who are you really excited to see what they do with their pick?
You know, I would... It's been kind of fascinating being here, because normally when you get the number one pick, everyone's like, this player, this franchise player, we're getting this superstar. And there's so much positive, you know, vibes that you have, right? There's optimism in the air. It's been really odd because it's kind of one of these things where everyone's like, it reminds me, remember the draft of Anthony Bennett when he ended up going number one? Remember that draft?
Mm-hmm.
You know, every now and then you'll see a draft and then it's like, well, who's number one?
Yep, and it's horrible to have the first round pick, the number one pick in that draft, because you're more than likely going to be wrong.
And that's what it feels like. Now, I don't want to have that with these young people. I happen to think there's some really, really good players in this draft. You know, in scouting, it's always great players. I always think there's all-star players everywhere. You just got to find them. However, there isn't a consensus top player.
Mm-hmm.
But there are going to be some really good players. And when I mean really good player, the best player in the draft could be in the middle of this draft, right? I mean, you can get a Jokic in the second round. So we know that this draft will have great players in there. It's just there isn't that one player that's just saying, okay, you know, I don't think there's a such thing as a can't miss. But highly unlikely, you want to say, you know, anything can happen, but Wembanyama was the best player in the draft, right?
Yeah.
There's not that.
No.
There's not that star power that we can all point to. So we'll see. We'll see what the Atlanta Hawks are going to do.
They did say this about that Anthony Bennett draft ended up producing Giannis. So
that's what I'm saying. It's
less about the media hype, and it's like, who are you really scouting? Which teams? This is the kind of draft where you find out which teams are really good at scouting. Because they can't just pick what they're supposed to pick, because the GM doesn't want to get fired and he's just going to pick the player that everyone expects them to. We're going to see who's really good at scouting in this. So I think, you know, looking at this, the results for last night, obviously the Pistons were disappointed to only get the fifth pick. They wanted to get more than that, but it may play in their favor. The player that they want may still be available at five. The Spurs have got 2 picks in the lottery now. They have the 8th pick and the 4th pick, which is huge for them. They could package those picks to move up if there's a player they really want, or they could use those picks to trade, and they could just use those picks to get 2 young players to develop alongside Victor Wembanyama. The Charlotte Hornets ended up with the 6th overall pick, and it just seems Charlotte Hornets, right? But the real winner from last night, in my opinion, is the Houston Rockets, because they're a team who could have made the playoffs this year. They're going to be challenging for the playoffs next year, and they've ended up with a 3rd overall pick, which becomes a very valuable trade asset, because they were offering the Brooklyn Nets their picks back earlier this season in exchange for Mikal Bridges, and Brooklyn said no. Given that the Rockets now have a third pick, that holds a lot more value than a mystery placed pick. You know what I mean? Like a top three pick holds more value. So that's something I'll keep an eye on, adding Mikal Bridges to the Houston Rockets in what's going to be a very, very tough Western Conference. I think they're a huge winner. The Toronto Raptors lost their pick to the Spurs. I think their pick became the eighth pick, and it was only protected up to the top six. So that one goes over to San Antonio. And then for Atlanta, let's talk about Atlanta for a sec. Because now all the talk is on, are they going to trade Trae Young? Are they going to trade DeJounte Murray? Are they going to trade the pick? What would your thoughts be if you were the Atlanta Hawks and this was your situation?
Well, first, the first thing, I would take a look at my books and say, what is this first pick going to do? So, I mean, that's like a, what, $12, $13 million ad.
And they've already got $163 million committed for next season.
Yeah, so
assuming they pick up the team options on AJ Griffin, Jalen Johnson, okay, so and Garrison
Matthews. That's the first thing. Okay, mm-hmm. So I want to look and see what that does. Second thing that I want to do is figure out, now, what's the style and brand of basketball that they really want to play?
Well, right? They try it. They do it for a year, then they fire a coach and try a different one. Okay. So your guess is as good as mine, BJ.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. So I look at this and I'm going, okay. So you're going to add the number one pick. So now it's highly unlikely that you're going to trade the number one pick unless you're Danny Ainge. And you better be right.
Yep, okay? Yep, because that was an all-time finesse. When he had the number one pick, he traded it to Philly. Philly took Markelle Fultz. They knew the Lakers were going to take Lonzo Ball, and Jason Tatum was waiting right there in third.
Okay, if you do this, you better be right. No.
And for some reason, Landry Fields doesn't strike me quite as skilled as Danny Ainge when it comes to negotiations. All I'm saying
is I saw Danny Ainge then, and I saw Danny Ainge I just saw Danny at lunch. And Danny is working the room right now. So he sees something he likes. Now, Danny, you know, shout out to Danny Ainge. Danny Ainge is one of my all-time favorites. He's terrific in the draft. So Danny has something going on. Danny is here. He's not like, he didn't send his scouts. He didn't send the assistant GM. Danny is here, and he's working the rooms, okay? 2 days in a row, I've seen Danny 24/7 in the lobby. It's just working. He's working. Okay. So it's highly unlikely that they're going to trade the number one pick. So that means, to me, that they're going to have to make a commitment to how they want to play.
Mm-hmm.
Right? As is. Now, that doesn't mean they won't change. As is, it's highly unlikely that I think they draft a guard with the number one pick.
Yes, of course. They got Trae Young and DeJounte Murray. I feel like they've at some point got to decide whether it's Trae Young or DeJounte Murray they want to keep. Trae Young is 25. Yeah. DeJounte Murray is 27. However, Trae Young is making about $20 million more than DeJounte every season.
So that leaves me to think that they're going to probably look for a 6'8 to 6 or 7 footer. They probably either will be, you know, and based on what I'm seeing, some athletic wing or big who can play maybe the 4 and the 5. That's what I'm guessing that they'll probably do.
You are an Atlanta like that. Hawk.
Okay, all right. So now that if that is the case, you're going to have to build your team and your roster around the skill set that you think this player is going to be 2-3 years from today. Okay? So now with that, so I'm saying to myself, if you take a player like that, what is that going to do at the guard position? Because you have two max players at the guard position. You have DeAndre Hunter. You got some guys that you know are coming up. They got some really nice young players there. And you have, you know, Bogdan, and you got all these players, Clint Capella. So that means they're going to have to be active. Now, who's going to stay? Who's going to go? Is anybody's guess. But I think they're going to have to probably change the way they want to play. And I think they're probably going to have to, at the very least, with those max players. I mean, you have two max players and you can't make the playoffs. That's a problem.
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah. I think they're going to have to figure out their style and brand of basketball. And I don't know what that is. Let me ask you this,
because, you know, most players who come into the league as a number one pick, they go to a very bad team and a team becomes their team. And as you can see, Paolo, Orlando Magic is Paolo's team. The Spurs are Wemby's team. But coming into a Hawks team, this is Trae Young's team, or maybe it's DeJounte Murray's team. And if you're the number one pick in a draft, I don't know if many guys will be too excited to play as a role player.
Well, I don't know if
Trae
you
Young.
Can say it's anyone's team because they haven't made the playoffs.
But you know what I mean? Like, I'm talking more like the locker room dynamic of this and how,
I hear what
how
you're saying.
You know, like when the Celtics had Kyrie Irving, but Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown were still young players and they were taking over in the playoffs. That wasn't a great locker room dynamic for that side. So that's what intrigues me about trying to mix in high picks with very good players or all-star caliber players.
Well, again, I think it's been a couple years since they've made the playoffs or advanced in the playoffs. So I think they have a lot of decisions to make here. And one would, I think the number one priority for this organization is to figure out what's their brand of basketball that they're going to want to play, right? You know, I've had the pleasure of knowing Coach Snyder for many years. He loves those skill guys. I mean, he played Bojan Bogdanović.
He could have been sixth man of the year.
Yeah, he played him at no. I'm talking about the one.
Oh, you're talking about Bojan.
Bojan, right? He played Bojan.
In Utah, yeah.
In Utah at the power forward position. So he clearly, in my opinion, loves shooting.
Yep.
And he loves spacing and he loves skilled and all that stuff.
Yep.
Okay. And when I look at this roster, and I'm just, look, I don't know. Maybe he's changed his philosophy. This doesn't fit his personality.
No.
Okay. So I'm looking very closely at who will emerge. And then that will show me what they're going to do. And then that will be the key on who's going to move and who's not going to. Okay. So, you know, if there's a big question mark for me is what they're going to do with Clint Capela. Because whatever they do, they're going to have to take a look.
He's got one season left. He's an expiring contract on 22
million. Yes, they're going to make him. And what they're going to have to do is they're either going to draft his replacement, which will be the number one pick in the draft, or they're going to have to make a bold move like we saw there with your Celtics. Okay. Mm-hmm. And you better be right.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I think the safer bet is the draft. And then now that buys you 4 or 5 years before people say, well, he can't play.
It gives you that job security. Get another contract and then you keep it moving.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, well, BJ, we've got two games happening tonight, both series of which are tied 2-2. And the first one is the Indiana Pacers and the New York Knicks heading back to Madison Square Garden.
I knew you were going to ask about this.
A very injured New York Knicks team on their last legs. Do they live to fight another day and win this one and take a 3-2 series lead? Or will they be heading back to Indiana with a chance for the Pacers to close out?
You said this was a – you talked about a must game.
Every game in the playoffs is a must game.
Well, yeah, but this one for the Knicks, I just think – if they have any chance to win this series, they have to win this one. I don't think there's no way they can keep playing every other day and then go back to Indiana and then come back to the – no, I just don't think it's possible for them.
I think it's Pacers in six or Knicks in seven.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not saying Knicks in seven. I just don't know how the Knicks are doing.
Oh, I said Knicks in seven at the very start, I think.
Yeah. I'm going to stay what I said. The longer this series goes, it's going to favor the Pacers. So I'm just going to say the Pacers.
When I say Knicks in seven, I'm assuming that OG would be back for a game seven, but it's not looking like that right now.
Yeah, whether he's back or not, hamstrings are funny. Those are funny things. You. Those are funny. This isn't like, you know, these guys have light switches and they turn them on. No, this is. You're talking about the playoffs. The guy's going to come back full tilt and be like, okay, I'm back. No.
Well, he does have a lot of leverage now in his contract negotiation because the difference in this Knicks team with him playing and him not playing is night and day.
Yeah, he's got to be available.
He does indeed.
Was he a hamstring? What, he had an elbow?
Yeah, he had an elbow. That was bad in
couple
the regular
things,
season.
You know? And he plays a physical brand of basketball. But you're right. When he's healthy, with him and Julius Randle there, I mean, that's pretty good.
Yeah. And Julius Randle's missed the entire playoffs, which is crazy to think
and
about.
And that's the thing about Mitchell Robinson, too, is out.
Yep.
So that's another.
And Bogdanovich, who we were just talking about.
Yeah.
That's who they traded for at the deadline.
Mm-hmm,
But the other game, the Minnesota Timberwolves and the Denver Nuggets.
Oh.
Man. I wish you were here yesterday.
I was
ready for an all-time Rudy Gobert slander run.
Yeah, but, I'm going for. I'm just gonna say this. I think Denver is gonna win it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Denver. You're not gonna beat them. You're not gonna beat them three times. Right.
Well, they beat them twice at home when no one expected them to. So
yeah, but if listen, I think it's Denver has. I mean, Minnesota has to win tomorrow. They have to win tomorrow. They have to win tomorrow. To have two chances to win one game.
Mm-hmm.
I just think it's going to be impossible. I think they will be on high alert. They know what they have to do. They know their assignment. They know how they have to play. And now it's about execution. I don't think Minnesota right now knows how they have to play and what they need to do to beat this team right.
Yeah, well, we'll see the adjustments that Chris Finch has made, because Mike Malone made some really good adjustments in that last one.
Yes, he did.
Christian Brown played fantastic. You know, I talked about this on yesterday's show, some of the things that he had them doing, some of the screening stuff, getting better looks, and Aaron Gordon again. Mm-hmm. If Aaron Gordon's hitting a couple threes in a game, you're not winning that game against Denver.
Why is Aaron Gordon should be on the Olympic team?
I know, I said that when we first spoke about it.
He should
100%.
He should be on the Olympic team.
100%. He's a winning player now.
Yes.
But yeah, I'm looking forward to those two games tomorrow night. I really hope the Knicks pull it off, because it's been such a good story this postseason, and for them to just go down by injuries, you never.
Well, I hope the Knicks play. I hope the Knicks win, because you know there's just no way they can win Game Six.
But I just want the Knicks to win, because I want to see the Knicks fans and the Celtics fans in the Conference Finals.
That'd be fun, but I just want to see the Knicks fans in Game Seven.
Oh yeah,
I just want to see the Knicks fans in Game Seven. So.
Yeah.
All right, my friend. Well, I got to get up early tomorrow. You know,
get some rest. I know it's late for you.
Sitting around eating bun buns tomorrow morning for breakfast and drinking your coffee.
Well, first of all, I don't drink coffee, and second of all, I don't eat breakfast. It's 6:30 in the morning right now, which should really be breakfast time for a normal functioning being. But I'm going to edit this podcast and then try and get a little bit of sleep if possible. But
that sounds good.
BJ, enjoy Chicago. I would say enjoy the pizza, but the pizza is horrible, so don't enjoy that.
Nothing like deep dish. Nothing like the deep dish.
Yeah, that's crazy, because it's horrible. But no, enjoy yourself, man. And we'll be back tomorrow after the Denver game what should be an action-packed episode of the podcast. Make sure you guys subscribe, YouTube, Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcast from. And most importantly, until next time, get buckets.